the second Sunday of Advent, we celebrate the great price paid to redeem humanity for sin and sorrow and shame. God the Father, in his great love for us, spared no cost in sending his only Son, Jesus, into our world to be our Redeemer, our Savior, our King. Luke 2:13-15. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his Father rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Out of gratitude to God for his great gift to us, we respond with worship and with the desire to live in peace with God and with others. We now light the second Advent candle to celebrate the peace that Jesus gives to us.
Thank you, Silas. Appreciate that for today's reading. You can head downstairs if you want to head back down. Appreciate that. I pray God's abundant blessing on you as you faithfully and generously worship the Lord, as Tom said, in your tithes and offerings. You know, God made a perfect world. Did anybody see the sunset last night? That was phenomenal. And he filled it because he wanted a forever family. He wanted people to love and to love one another. And he desired this relationship with humans. But we sinned. We broke it, right? He separated us from God. Born in a lowly manger, God sent his Son Jesus to save us. He was crucified. He died. He rose again. And he's coming back to restore this relationship with God if we put our trust and our faith in him. Well, today is the second day, the second Sunday of Advent, the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. Again, last week we talked about this. Advent means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. The notable person is Jesus Christ. The thing is that Jesus became human. He died for our sins to bring salvation to all humanity. And the event is that Jesus was born in a stable, in humble beginnings. He could have come to Rome in splendor and blew him out of the water, but he didn't. He came humbly. Part one, we looked at hope. Hope. What or who do we put our hope in? The Word of God says that trouble produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces what? Hope. And this hope, the Word of God says, will never disappoint. But when we go through hardships, when we go through tribulations, it can often discourage us. It can often leave us disappointed and hopeless. Hope is a desire for some future thing, some future good with the expectations of getting it. Maybe in the past we've fallen for a false hope. Something didn't deliver as promised, or someone didn't come through like they said they would. And we build a wall around our hearts because of it. Maybe we've experienced trauma or hardship and have lost hope, right? Back in the Old Testament, Job and David, they understood suffering. They understood hardship. And even the Ephesian Gentiles in the New Testament were living without God, living without hope. And maybe your life and your heart are filled with disappointments and you feel you've lost hope. And when that hope that was false failed you, when hope that was lost disappeared, can I tell you this morning, there is Jesus, your eternal hope. your eternal hope. Those who lived before Jesus were waiting for the Messiah to come and to rescue a fallen world. Those who live after Jesus, that's us, right? We're waiting for him to come back and to redeem everything that's been lost once and for all. Jesus is our only hope. A couple of summers ago, June of 2022, abruptly, me and some other were let go at our company. It was a Friday, I remember, and the new CEO and the HR lady, they called me on video. I was at home. I was setting up my home office because we had shut down a branch here in Chicago, and they told me the news. They told me the reason was there was corporate downsizing. And it was effective immediately. Like, I'm on this Zoom call with them, and they shut all communications with them and the rest of the company, gone, right? I couldn't even say goodbye. Couldn't even say goodbye to all the people that I knew and worked with for 5 years. And over the next few days, I remember a sense of shock. Like, I feel like I had done something wrong because in the way they let me go. And I was anxious. And I had some fear of the present and fear of the future. A real sense of uneasiness, a real sense of uncertainty about what's next. What do I do now? I think we've all experienced calmness during a really difficult time in life. And we've also experienced unrest during an amazing time in life. We've all brought harmony to a situation involving our family or some friendships or at our workplace. And we've all brought distress to our families and our relationships and our workplaces as well. And I think if we're honest this morning, if the week was good, then we had peace, right? But if the week was bad, then we had no peace at all. It's like we gauge whether we have peace or not, depending on our surrounding circumstances. I think we all kind of do that. I had a bad week, no peace. I had a really good week, felt God's peace. Somebody once said that the way to achieve inner peace is to finish the things we've started. So just yesterday, I finished a box of Krispy Kreme donuts, two bags of chips and a chocolate cake. And I feel better today. That is incorrect. That is incorrect. I don't even know where a Krispy Kreme place is at, and I did have a cookie yesterday, so yes, okay. You know, we hear peace in the Christmas songs that we sing, and I was just thinking, and watching you guys sing today, where else can you gather and sing Christmas songs like that? Lift up your voice. We don't, obviously we don't sing Christmas in July, but it's this time of year where we're lifting our voices and remembering this event. I guess some of you could go caroling. That does happen, I guess, too, whether you can sing or not, right, Nance? Right? But we hear the word peace in Christmas songs, and we see it in Christmas cards, and it's on cute little Christmas decorations found at Hobby Lobby. We are stakeholders in Hobby Lobby because of this wedding coming up. But I know at times we live our lives without peace, filled with anxiety, filled with fear, filled with worry, concern about, and fill in the blank for your life. We often worry, stress. What do we do when there is no peace? The challenge is to open our hearts once more to the amazing truth of Jesus, who came into our world as a baby, and how that impacts our lives today in a meaningful way. It all began in a manger. It didn't end there. We celebrate that, but it leads to Easter, right? We got to open our hearts one more time. It doesn't matter how long you've been a follower of Christ or not, how many Christmases you've celebrated, how many songs you've sung, how many cards you've sent. The challenge is to open your heart one more time and say, okay, I don't want to just go through the motions this year. I've titled my message this morning in this Advent series, Peace. You see, Christmas is so much more than gifts under the tree and more than the pressures of shopping and decorating the house and planning the parties and cooking the meals. And we can go blindly through, you know, go through the motions of another Christmas and not experience true peace. And if we're not careful, people, we can get sucked into all the hype that Christmas shouldn't be about. Because Advent, Jesus coming, it really is good news. Last week we looked at a passage of Scripture that's found in Romans chapter 5, and it's verses 1 through 5. We have been made right with God because of our faith. Amen. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our faith, Christ has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And we are happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. And we also have joy with our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. God gave us His love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us. Again, you might be thinking, what do these verses have to do with Advent and the Christmas story? Well, in these five verses here in Romans chapter 5, all four themes of the Advent can be found. So I want to zero in on the first two verses. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We have been made right with God because of our faith, so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our faith, Christ has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. I wonder, does anyone enjoy God's grace today? And we are happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. We have been made right, or we have been justified. We've been acquitted. We've been declared righteous, given a right standing with God. You see, all humanity is sinful and guilty before God. That's why we need to be made right. It's called justification. And it's only by grace, through faith, because of the atoning and redeeming work of Jesus on the cross. It's because of that we have peace with God. It's all complete and done through Jesus. Undeserved, we can now approach God and stand in His grace, boasting in and sharing His glory. We can brag on how we have a good, good Father. He's good. So let's break these four words down for a moment. Have peace with God. Have, right? Means to hold or to possess, or it's a continually possess, or a continual possession. It's ongoing. It stays with you. Have. I have this book. I have this word. Have peace, right? The Greek word for peace is eirene, which we get our English word serene. I read that peace with God is not a state of mind, but a relationship with God, meaning peace with God is not a feeling, it's a fact. It's not a feeling. We want to feel good and have peace. And that's okay to want that, but it's not a feeling. The peace of God goes deeper than that. Have peace with. See, it's not peace of God or peace from God. Peace with God. It's a marker of closeness or being near, and is based on our standing and our position in Christ. Have peace with God. It's peace with the Almighty Creator, the one who started it all. We have been made right with God because of our faith. So, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace only comes through Jesus. And once again, shocking as I'm about to say it, it all comes back to Jesus. It does. It all comes back to Him. He is the centerpiece of Christmas and for everything else, for that matter. You see, it seems everyone's searching for meaning. They're searching for purpose. They're searching for identity. They're searching for peace. Something to grab a hold of when life gets tough. something to believe in when the chips are down. Peace. There once was a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists tried, and the king looked at all the pictures, but there were only two he really liked, and he had to choose between them. One picture was of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror, for peaceful towering mountains were all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds, and all who saw this picture thought that it was a perfect picture of peace. The other picture had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare. Above was an angry sky from which rain fell and which lightning played. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in a crack in the rock. And in the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. And there, in the midst of the rush of the angry water, sat the mother bird on her nest. Perfect peace. Which picture do you think won the prize? Well, the king chose the second picture. Do you know why? Because, explained the king, because peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That's the true meaning of peace. You see, the peace the world gives is false. It's unstable. It's short-lived. The peace that Jesus gives is true. It's durable. And you know what? It's eternal. The peace the world gives is external only. The peace that Jesus gives is internal, which affects the external. The peace the world gives can't sustain itself under its own trouble. The peace that Jesus gives carries us through all the difficulties of life. The world gives peace in words only. Jesus gives peace with his very life. The world gives peace for its own advantage. Jesus gives peace to his people. The world's peace depends on outward circumstances and lasts as long as there is no trouble or sorrow or war. As soon as there is any kind of sign of trouble, it vanishes. The peace that Jesus gives is from God. Even when you go through difficulties, the peace that Jesus gives will remain with you. And as soon as you believe, you are justified. You are made right with God. And once you are made right with God, because of your faith, you have peace with God through Jesus. It's a glorious thing. You are reconciled with God. You don't need to search for peace or try to manufacture it on your own. You already have it. It's there. Again, it's not a feeling. It's a fact. But why is peace with God so important? That's a great question. Why is peace with God so important? Well, peace with God reconciles my relationship with him. It reconciles my relationship with him. I think I have a slide for that. You see, the first benefit of peace with God is a reconciliation of relationships. You are no longer an enemy of God, subject to his wrath. Think about that statement for just a moment. You are no longer an enemy of God, subject to his wrath. You see, God took the first step to deal with this divide between you and me. And this divide was bridged by the death of Jesus on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 through 11 says this, "And since by his blood he did all this for us as sinners, how much more will he do for us now that he has declared us not guilty? Now he will save us from all of God's wrath to come. And since, when we were his enemies, we were brought back to God by the death of his Son, what blessings he must have for us now that we are his friends and he is living within us. Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends of God." I am a friend of God. You see, because of sin, you couldn't have peace with God. But Jesus came into the world and died to take away your sins. By his death, he removed that sin that stood between you and God. He took care of it. He made peace possible if you accept his sacrifice. He was the only one who could ever do it because he was sinless. He was perfect. Jesus is the great peacemaker, bringing God and humanity together. Your first need is to have peace with God. Then peace with God restores my relationship with others. You see, it almost makes more sense, and it might even be easier to do to have peace with God than it is to have peace with others. Sometimes, I know. It's true. God, who you can't see, is easier to love and serve than it is to love and serve your family, your friends, your church family, or who you can see, right? There's a bumper sticker that says this: forget world peace, visualize turning off your turn signal. You see, the second benefit of having peace with God is having it with others. Is having it with others. A few chapters later, the Apostle Paul, this dude was anointed. This dude heard from the Lord. Romans 12:18, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Romans 12:18. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. You can't have peace with others until you have peace with God. You see, this vertical relationship between you and God must be at peace before the horizontal relationship between you and others can be. You see, the road of reconciliation it's not an easy road to walk down. It's not. Trust me. I know you know that. But that is what God's Word tells us to do. And in preparing this week and studying this week, I came across this thought. You see, it's not enough to know that reconciliation is the answer to disunity and injustice. You must seek to understand and actively engage in the process. Reconciliation, or restoring, is the hard but good, beautiful yet messy, worth it kind of work. And as followers of Jesus, you are equipped to be a minister of reconciliation and resolution, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It affirms that God himself empowers every believer to be a reconciler, to be a restorer. And followers of Jesus do this by applying what it says way back in Psalm 34, verse 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. So turn from evil and do good. Okay, check, we got that. That means to reject evil outwardly and addressing it inwardly within your own heart. Confess the sin that caused the fracture by acknowledging your role in the conflict with God and with others. Then, what do? We actively seek peace. That's interesting, right? We go out of our way, we search to bring peace with others, to work hard to maintain it. You know this, I've said this before, again, peace isn't the absence of conflict, it's the presence of restored harmony. It's not just being peacekeepers, but peacemakers, pursuing being a part of restoring the relationship. It's listening with empathy and striving for understanding. It's seeing the brokenness that's all around and asking God how he's calling you to be a part of that reconciliation. That's what followers of Jesus do, because that's what Jesus did on the cross. He reconciled you back to the Father. He restored it. So my question this morning, who do you need to make peace with today? Who do you need to make peace with today? Peace with God, number three, renews the relationship with my heart. Christ has introduced us to God's gift of undeserved grace on which we now take our stand. So we are happy as we look forward to sharing in the glory of God. The third benefit of peace with God is that your heart is renewed. This renovation or this transformation happens as you stand in God's amazing grace. Peace with Him, peace with others, peace within. One commentator wrote this: peace with God takes care of your heart's past, not holding your sins against you any longer. This peace with God also helps your heart in the present. You can come to Him at any time. And the peace of God takes care of your futures, your heart's future. One day, you will share in His glory. A little label on that. It doesn't happen all at once. I wish it did. But God sees you through His grace. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says this: you've gotten rid of the person you used to be and the life you used to live, and you've become a new person. This new person is continually renewed in knowledge to be like its creator. It's living with communion, in communion with God and others and yourself. It's accepting God's peace. It's extending that peace to others. And even, this might even be the hardest for some, to yourself. And that renews your heart and your life. I already know the answer to this question. Has anyone fully arrived in perfection in Christ? I know the answer to this next question. Does anyone have it all together?
No.
Good. So we're all on common ground, right? No one has it all together. Well, that means God is still working on your life and mine. Again, our sister said it, I said it earlier, it's opening your heart and not letting it grow over, not let it callous, not let it just go through the motions, but opening your heart once more. God is here. God's not only here on Sunday mornings, but He's with you where you go and where you live and where you drive and where you work. That's where it really matters. This is our time in the locker room, rallying the troops. You can do this. Go out there and win it, right? Go out there and tell the world that Jesus loves them. Peace. Peace. Rock guitarist Jimi Hendrix, he led a promiscuous life, indulging in drugs and behaving outrageously on and off the stage. At the end of a concert in 1970, Jimmy smashed his guitar. And according to Robert McGee and Donald Sapu, in Search for Peace, the audience screamed and applauded. But suddenly the frenzied applause stopped. Jimmy had fallen on his knees and was staying in that position motionless. He broke the stillness by asking, "If you know real peace, I want to visit with you backstage." But apparently nobody responded to his startling invitation. Several days later, he died from an overdose of drugs. My question is, do you know real peace? Have you discovered, as Jimmy did, that fame and money and self-indulgence, it doesn't bring lasting peace? Only through putting your faith and trust in Christ can you experience peace with God. Open your heart and faith to the Prince of Peace. Invite Him to come into your life and take control of it. Pastor, author Judah Smith says this: when we have peace with God, we are able to find peace with ourselves, peace with others, and peace even in the turbulence of life. Man, let's pray.